My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. When I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So if you too are daft for Donald, then this is the podcast for you. Or maybe you're the Disney novice just thinking about or maybe planning your first ever trip to Walt Disney World and you still don't know whether Goofy is a cow or a dog or a horse. Well, then this definitely is the podcast for you. Every week, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans from around the UK to share their stories and their magical times. And this week, Susie tells me about an awful encounter she had with a wicked queen.
We're like, these two people aren't even speaking to me. And we were like panicking. You know, you stand there like, I don't know what to say to her. She's really scary.
Also going to be answering more of your Walt Disney World planning questions. We've got some more great Disney Plus recommendations and a top tip of the week that could save you money on food at Walt Disney World. And make sure you keep in touch with us as well on the socials, Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. We are at Podmagical. This is the most magical podcast on earth as part of the Secret Recordings Network. If you've got any questions, whether you are planning your first ever trip to Walt Disney World, maybe you've rearranged something, maybe you've got everything sorted for next year, but you want to start adding a few little bits on and you want some recommendations or ideas, do give me a shout. I'll do my best to answer them. That's what Nick has done. Andy, have you ever done a dessert party at Magic Kingdom? Next time we go, probably next year, we can't decide which one to do. Do we do the Plaza Gardens or Tomorrowland Terrace? Really want to do one next time. So when they return, well, when the fireworks return and then dessert parties return, you've got an option of ones you can do over at Magic Kingdom. Plaza Gardens is the cheaper one where you can have your desserts and then watch the fireworks, or you can watch the fireworks and then have your desserts, but you watch it from right in front of the castle in Plaza Gardens. You've got a special cordoned off area. That's the one I prefer. So you watch the fireworks and then I prefer to have the dessert after the fireworks. If you have the dessert before the fireworks, it's cheaper because you can't get alcohol. If you have the dessert after the fireworks, it's a little bit more expensive. The other option is to watch the fireworks from where you have the dessert party, which is over at Plaza Gardens. That's the most expensive option. I personally don't think that's the best, not because of the price, but I don't think you get a better view because you're kind of looking at it side on. So there you go. When fireworks eventually do return and we can go to America and we can have a dessert while watching fireworks, if you've got an anniversary or a special occasion, that's the one I would do. Dessert party after the fireworks from Plaza Gardens. Any questions? Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Podmagical. Same place to go to be a podcast guest like this week's guest, Susie. So before we find out what happened between you and the Wicked Queen, tell me why you love Walt Disney World, Susie.
Oh, I'm going to say the same thing as everyone else. I know I will. But it's just how you just escape from everything else. I think I used to go to Disneyland Paris a lot when I was younger. So I'm a very Disney person. So Walt Disney World is just that and even bigger, isn't it? So it's just how immersive it all is. And you just forget all your problems, don't you, when you're there? So.
You do. And you managed to squeeze in a trip just by the end of last year then.
I did. So we went when it was the Thanksgiving weekend, so their Black Friday, flew out on the day after, on the Saturday, and were there for 2 weeks, then just before the start. So we're very, very lucky that we got to go. We're really pleased, but feel sorry for the people that unfortunately can't now. So
you managed to get in. That's quite a good time as well. The week after Thanksgiving is usually pretty quiet.
Yeah, it was, apart from Rise of the Resistance opened whilst we were there. So Hollywood Studios was crazy. And we did go there the day it opened. We were those people that were down at the buses at 6 o'clock in the morning. And we were both saying to each other, what are we doing right now? Why are we doing this? But we managed to get a boarding pass, which was amazing. Apart from it was something silly like 100 and something. It was really, really far ahead, but they could only add me onto it as well. They couldn't add my partner, so I had to go and get somebody to help us, because I was like, I'm in to, like, my fiance,
but I'm on my own.
We had to get him. Yeah, so I'm going on it on my own with or without you. I definitely would have done that.
See you later, sucker.
but yeah, unfortunately, because it was such a late boarding group, we didn't get to go on it on the opening day. So I've got a picture of me with the plaque, like, yeah, I'm here on the opening day, but we didn't get to go on it. But they were really good. They messaged everyone if you were in a boarding group that day and said, you know, we'll give you a fast pass for the next day. But unfortunately, we were going to Universal, so we couldn't do it. And I was like, please, can't you give me one for next week? And they were like, no, we can't, unfortunately. So they gave me free fast passes for our last day in Magic Kingdom instead. So they're always, you know, they always want to do more, don't they?
Yeah.
To make sure that you leave happy. And they gave us a free day in the park, like ticket, you know, to use at any point in the next 2 years, I think it was. So I gave it to my younger sister, who went over for a bit in January, so she could use that, and her friend had my fiance's one as well. So yeah, that was good.
Oh,
so
perfect.
I love how much they try and help you all the time, don't they?
So did you actually get to go on Rise of the Resistance then, or have you still not been on it?
No, I did. I did manage to go on it the week after. So right. I think it was about... It was less than a week after it opened, but the same thing happened again. Only I could get on to the group, and for some reason, my fiance couldn't. So again, they helped us out. So it must have been some sort of technical fault with his account or something. But the good thing was is that you could leave the park. So this time we were like boarding group. I think it was 25, but it still said that it was going to be a few hours later because I think they had some technical difficulties in the morning.
Yeah.
So it was quite nice. We managed to go over to Animal Kingdom, still go on our Flight of Passage fast pass that we had, which was brilliant. And then we went back later on and went on the ride. So it was quite nice that you can actually, I didn't think you could. So I kept checking with people like, I'm not going to lose this, am I?
No.
But you could go over for a bit somewhere else and then come back. So that's really good.
Amazing.
So I didn't get to go on it.
And you also got to do, so you got to do Rise of the Resistance and Flight of Passage on the same day.
I did. It was a pretty epic day, to be fair.
Back in the days when we could do park hopping. We can't even do park hopping anymore. Never mind.
I know. So sad, isn't it? I think one of the days we went to like three parks in one day.
Oh,
no,
rub it in then. Just rub it in.
Yeah, like proper for every form of transport. And now you can't even do that.
I know, I did once do four parks in one day last year. Yeah, that was hard going. The four parks one day challenge. You've got to meet a character, you've got to do a ride, and you've got to have a snack. That was good.
I definitely didn't do all of those things.
We regretted it the following day. So when was the first time you went to Walt Disney World?
So I went, I've been one other time, and that was in 2005. So I was like 12 or 13. So it was a proper family holiday. So it was nice to go this time as adults. But yeah, so it was, 2005. So it was quite different then. They were building Expedition Everest when we were there.
Oh, wow.
So you could just see the track going halfway up the mountain. It wasn't fully built. So we kept saying we were so annoyed that it wasn't open because it looked amazing for its time even then. So, it was a shame it wasn't open then. But that was the first time I went.
So going as a child and going as an adult, did you prefer one or the other?
Adult, definitely.
Why is that?
Well, you know, first of all, there's alcohol these days. So that's always you know, an extra added bit of fun in the evening. So, and actually sometimes at breakfast, the second week, I suddenly realised I could be having like a cocktail or something now with my breakfast. So we started doing that the second week as well. But I think it's just being able to plan it. And we went with another family when we were younger.
Yeah.
And we were all really good friends, but you kind of have to do what everyone wants to. And I can't remember a lot of it. So there were certain bits that when I went back, I remembered stuff. But I think being an adult and actually deciding what you're going to do and going at your own pace was brilliant. So I loved it.
So you've gone from not remembering a lot of it as a kid to not remembering a lot of it as a drunk adult.
Yes.
So of the times
I wasn't that bad.
Of the times you've been, have you got a favourite memory, that one standout memory?
I think it was when we went on Flight of Passage for the first time.
Yeah.
I remember, you know, it's got all of the smells and the noises and like the wind effects in your face that you feel like you're flying. And I remember looking over at my fiance, Nick, and he's been as a child and everything, but I had to really convince him to go as an adult. He's really pleased we went now. But I remember looking at him and it was his face. I think it's enjoying other people enjoying it can be brilliant. So he looked so happy and the ride was just so amazing that's by far like the best memory that I have from my trips there. So
there is something special about for your first time and taking somebody else for their first time.
Yeah,
definitely. Let's talk about some of your favorite Walt Disney World things then. So favorite attraction.
I was going to say Flight of Passage, but I'm going to be different. I'm going to be controversial. And I'd have to say for me, it was Frozen Ever After.
Oh, there's no such thing as controversial on this podcast.
We love everything.
But I feel like I shouldn't be my age and have Frozen Ever After as my favourite. Why not? But we didn't. Well, I don't, you know, I love the film. I just love the music on it, and it's timed so well, and it's so, like all of their rides, it's so immersive. But unfortunately, we didn't get a fast pass for it until the second week. So I'm really annoyed that I had a whole first week where I hadn't been on it, and we didn't queue because the queue was ridiculous for it. So when we finally got on it, I kept saying to my partner, like, we have to go and queue again. I need to go on it again because I really loved it. So I think that's definitely my favourite. I really liked it.
Let's talk food. What about favourite restaurants?
We were really lucky when we went. We got all of the restaurants we wanted to, and we went to some brilliant ones. So BL Guest, I really liked. We managed to go there. That was brilliant. I loved the French onion soup there. It was just amazing. Mm-hmm. So much cheese. The other one is probably the Storybook Dining, which a lot of people don't really seem to talk about. You know, at Wilderness Lodge, where it's Snow White and, you know, the Evil Queen and everything. Yes. And it's like a big forest inside. But hardly anyone goes to it, which I'm really surprised about, because it's a real hidden gem. Like, the food there was brilliant. They bring out all of the food for you on a tree. So, like, it's all like starters come out on a tree, and they're really good if you don't like all of them, because it's kind of like a set menu for the starters. They were really good. I didn't like some of them, so they switched them over. And then we saw people going past, and the waiters had like these giant Yorkshire puddings. And I was like, oh my God, you can get Yorkshire puddings here. Like, to Nick, I was like, we have to get that. So yeah, we found out that it was their version of a Yorkshire pudding. So it's a little bit different, but it was really yummy. And at the same time, you have like Snow White come round, Dopey, Grumpy. And I think that was it.
You get to meet the Queen, don't you?
Yes, then you go and meet the Queen afterwards. And she wasn't very happy because we didn't know what to say to her. And she kept making comments to people of like, these two people aren't even speaking to me. And we were like panicking. You know, you stand there like, I don't know what to say to her. She's really scary. But yeah, so it was really good there. And hardly anyone in there as well. So it's definitely one of those ones to watch, I think.
Yeah,
so
it's nice. And I'm trying to remember what Americans call Yorkshire puddings. They've got a name for it. And they call it something else. And I
remember.
Can't think what it is. We'll put that on socials when it comes to me. No, I can't remember what it is. But it does taste like a Yorkshire pudding. It looks and tastes like a Yorkshire pudding, but it's called something else.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was. I remember we Googled it when we were in there because we saw what it was called. And we're like, is it a Yorkshire pudding or is it going to come through and it's going to be something completely different? Mm. But
so have you got a favourite resort?
So we stayed at Port Orleans, sorry, French Quarter. Yeah. We stayed there. Which everyone on this podcast seems to do, don't they?
But it's very popular.
Resort. I think it's because it's so small, and the fact that you can, you know, get the boat over to Disney Springs. There's only one bus stop. I was quite clever as well. Before we went, I found out where the block of rooms were that was closest to the bus stop, and asked if we could stay in it. And we were really lucky; they put us in that block. So if anyone needs it, it's block 4. So you're right by it. I just love the fact that in the morning, one of us would go and take the, you know, the drinks cups down and go and get a drink for both of us whilst the other one got ready. And I like how small it is. So I think that suited us really well. We didn't want something too Disney with it being the two of us. That's kind of how I convinced Nick to go, was by saying, oh, a lot of honeymooners go there. It's a lot of adults, because otherwise I think if it'd been a bit too Disney, I don't think he would enjoy it as much.
I want to get some of your top tips, and I've also found out what Americans call Yorkshire puddings.
What's it called?
I'm going to tell you in just a moment. First up, let us get a quick Disney Plus recommendation. If you've been scrolling through Disney, you've watched Hamilton, you've watched Frozen 2, I don't know how many times, you've watched The Imagineering Story. Is there anything you have uncovered deep down in the depths of Disney Plus? Maybe it's something that reminds you of being at Walt Disney World, or maybe it's just a hidden gem that we don't know about. Thank you to Kieran, who sent me a message. Don't forget, you can message me on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram, PodMagical. Kieran has suggested It's a Dog's Life. It's actually a documentary about dogs who have incredible lives, incredible hardworking dogs. But the best thing about it is the presenter who does the show is the guy who is the voice of Goofy and Pluto on the recent Disney cartoons. It's a Dog's Life on Disney Plus. It's cute, it's adorable, and it's really weird seeing the guy doing the voice. Thanks for your recommendation, Kieran. You got a recommendation? Let me know. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, we are at PodMagical. That's also where you go if you fancy chatting to me about Walt Disney World on the podcast, like Susie is on this week. We were talking about the restaurant you went to over at Wilderness Lodge, and they serve you a Yorkshire pudding, but they called it something else. I found out what it's called.
Okay.
So Americans call Yorkshire puddings a popover.
Oh, a popover.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, a popover is what they call Yorkshire pudding. So if you're ever in America and you see popover on the menu, usually with roast beef, it's a Yorkshire pudding.
Making a note of it now.
Yeah, make a note of it now. Let's talk about your planning strategy then. I know it's very different at the minute because, you know, there's no park hopping, as we said, and there's no fast passes and things anymore. But did you have a particular strategy when it came to organising your holiday on a whole?
I did a lot of research. I say we, it was definitely me
you,
more
yeah.
than it was the other half.
Take
control. Yeah, so I... you know, watched a lot of vlogs, read a few books, and listening to podcasts like your one, for example, and sort of got an idea of what days are more busy than other ones, and planned it that way. Then when it came to the restaurants and fast passes, both of us had a laptop each and we're like logging for our Disney accounts, like go, and whichever one, you know, which restaurant we wanted first or what ride we wanted first, we always went for that and went for like the latest point in the holiday that we could book for, which I always think is good because, you know, people haven't got up to that point with the days yet, have they?
So work backwards.
So I'm very plan orientated in that respect, but I think you have to be good at knowing that when you're out there it might not all go to plan. Be days where you might be a bit more tired, so you know we were sort of moving restaurants to earlier or later if we were doing bits and pieces, so you have to be a bit flexible with it too.
Yeah, and it's good that you can still do that as well. Obviously when you're booking restaurants now it's 60 days out rather than the 6 months out that they used to do it. But at the moment that could go back, but I think they might keep that. They might keep the 60 days, but it is good to know that on the day if you want to move it to an hour or so earlier, quite easy to do.
Yeah.
Any other tips that you picked up while you were over there?
Bring ID. The first day we were there, we were really excited about having a drink at lunchtime just because it's a novelty, because we don't really do that here. The waitress was like, oh, have you got any ID? And both of us said no, because we wouldn't naturally just take our passports with us.
Yeah.
But she let us know that if we took a picture of them on our phone and showed them to people, you know, in the restaurants, then that's fine. But, you know, we're both over 21, you know, and look it too. But they obviously have to be really strict on it. And I completely appreciate that. So I'd say making sure you've got a picture on your phone of ID, if that's what you want to do, is have a drink whilst you're there. And probably the one thing, because we did travel to other areas when we were there, we did a few bits and pieces outside of Disney, was we used Lyft quite a bit. And I didn't know that when you're out there, you can sometimes look for voucher codes to give you like $10 off the first three rides. I found that all out when we got back and I could have saved quite a lot of money. So it's just the tips and tricks of other people are quite helpful with bits like that to save a bit of money whilst you're out there, because it does add up, doesn't it? So
where else did you go outside Walt Disney World? Anywhere else you ventured to?
We went shopping, because that's a great love of mine, lots of shopping. Went to both of the outlets whilst we were there.
Are they pretty much similar then? Because I know when I go, I either go to one or the other, but I never do both. Is it worth going to both if you love shopping?
I did. I liked it because some of the shops were better. Like some of the designer handbag ones, one of them had like a bigger one than the other. And I think I get worried that I'm going to miss out on things potentially. So I wanted to go to both. I was quite lucky that Nick was happy to do the same. But I think it's doing a bit of research on the types of shops you want. But we were quite lucky as well with it being their Black Friday weekend. There was a lot of things that were still on offer the week after as well. So, you know, a lot of shops had even more discounts off on top of what they normally do.
Yeah.
So if you like shopping, it's probably worth doing both, but depends if they're the types of shops you want to go to. But other than that, we went to Universal as well.
Yeah.
But we stayed overnight for one night at Universal just to have a bit of a break from the Disney bubble. Their version of fast passes, I've forgotten what they've called now, whilst we were there, because we stayed in one of the hotels that gave them to you for free. So that was good to just walk on.
Right. Which hotel was that, by the way? So
it was the one with the big plane in the water outside.
Sapphire Falls? That sounds like a thing. Yeah.
I can't remember, but really nice hotel, really lovely. And it was, you know, we walked straight to the park and things from it. It was only like a 5 or 10 minute walk.
Yeah.
So that was really good.
Definitely worth doing. You say the first time you went was 2005. Was there anything that is no longer at Walt Disney World that you missed when you went back last year? You were gutted that it wasn't there anymore.
I think some of it was like parades and things. I remember there were, and I don't know if sometimes it's because when you're younger, everything seems so much bigger, doesn't it?
Yeah.
There was like a parade at Magic Kingdom and a fireworks show in the evening then, but I can't remember the name of it, but we even had like a CD with the music from it on. So that was, it felt quite sad watching, as much as I loved Happily Ever After when we went, there was like tunes that I had in my head from when I was younger that, you know, aren't really there anymore, but I can't really remember the ride side of it, or feeling like I was missing anything from it. I don't think so.
So are you planning on going back, or are you just sitting back at the minute and seeing what happens with the world?
So we're getting married next year, and we've booked our mini moon to Disneyland Paris.
Yeah.
So we're thinking about potentially doing Florida the year after, so maybe 2022. But at the same time, we've been also talking about maybe going to California or Tokyo just to do something a bit different.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you look at it, the value for money with Florida ends up being so much better than the other two that it's really hard. And also I feel a bit sorry for my partner where I'm like, let's do loads of Disney stuff, because he probably would quite like to have a different sort of holiday. So we're umming and ahhing. I think it depends on what's going on at the moment, doesn't it? Especially
yeah,
where you can't get the same sort of deals and things as before.
Hopefully you will end up going to all six parks around the world for your mini moon, your following mini moon, and your four consecutive honeymoons.
That would be amazing.
The ideal.
I love it.
And well, have a lovely wedding.
Thank you.
when is it you get married?
Next year, not until September next year.
Right, should it have been this year, or is it always September next year?
No, it's always September next year. Yeah,
lucky
we're very lucky
out there.
Yeah.
Lovely talking to you, Susie, and have a magical day.
Thank you.
Fancy joining me on the podcast to chat Walt Disney World? Give me a shout. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. That's where we are. DM me. Just send me a message. We'll get you on. Andy's top tip of the week this week, over the last couple of months, I've been trying to find some really good ways of saving money on food at Walt Disney World. So if you've got any, then do give me a shout and let me know. We can share them on the podcast every Friday. This week's top tip is get groceries delivered to your hotel. Now, most hotels in the Walt Disney World resorts and other hotels as well, most of them have got a fridge. If you're renting points and staying at a DVC resort, they've got a big fridge in there. So if you don't want to pay for food in the parks or in restaurants, why not have food delivered to your hotel? Yeah, you can take some with you, like, you know, the little packets of porridge and stuff like that. But when you get to Orlando, even when you arrive, why don't you go onto something like Amazon Prime Now and get stuff delivered to your hotel? So it could be milk or bread or some fresh fruit or big bottles of water that, you know, you could take one of those with you every day to the park. So Amazon Prime Now, and there's some other places that will deliver food directly to your resort. So you can keep it in the cupboards or keep it in the mini fridge if you've got one. That means, you know, even if you're just having breakfast in the morning or taking a bottle of water to the park with you, can save you quite a bit of money rather than paying for the prices in the parks. There's Andy's top tip of the week this week. Of course, if you've got any top tips or you want to be on the podcast, do give me a shout. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pod Magical is where we are. Make sure you've subscribed as well if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or if you're listening on Spotify. We've got a brand new podcast every Friday, so make sure you don't have to go searching for it. Hit that subscribe button. If you could share it with your friends as well, that'd be brilliant. And until next time, please stand clear of the doors.